Hello, welcome again to another edition of Liberty Baptist Life Online, Praise and Worship. We're glad to have you here with us today. Obviously, we can't meet physically in person as we're used to doing, but we're going to continue to provide this online version and hope that it's a blessing to you. Got a few announcements for you that I think you've probably seen before, but I'm going to go over again just in case you're new to viewing Liberty Baptist Life. So here is my contact information, cell phone, email. You can get me on Facebook. My office number is there, and the church website as well. Now, speaking of the church website, I encourage you to go there and check it out. There's all kinds of information, sermons, newsletter, event schedule, announcements. There's prayer requests, daily Bible reading, contact information. Everything you need to know is available there. So I encourage you to check that out. If you can't find what you need there, drop me a note and I'll be glad to help you try to navigate it. Giving information is the same as it's been before. We have not turned online giving on yet, so we will still receive your tithes and offerings by mail, and you can mail it to the church at 2315 Highway 31 North, Deatsville 36022. Let me encourage you, as I have before, to keep in contact with your brothers and sisters. We can't physically meet together in the building, but we're still the church and we're still alive and still doing what God's calling us to do. So by all means, check on your brothers and sisters, especially those that are elderly or shut in. If you know of a problem that you can't take care of, then by all means, give me or one of the deacons a call and we'll see if we can meet that need. Continue to pray, continue to worship, study and minister to those in need. Let the world see Jesus in you. We are still the church, and they need to see that. The drive-in service is still scheduled for May the 17th. That is the Sunday after Mother's Day. It'll be at 11 o'clock on the campus here. Arrive as early as you can. Follow the instructions of the safety team. Park in designated spots. And, yes, you will have to stay in your vehicle because we still have to practice social distancing. VBS, Vacation Bible School, has been postponed until July, but the T-shirts are available now for sale. So if you would like one, if you're going to be a teacher or involved in VBS, then let Jennifer know your size. And the price is on the slide, $12 for regular shirts, $14 for 2XL, and $15 for 3XL. So as we continue with our praise and worship, I hope that you are enjoying this. I know we enjoy being able to bring it to you, and thankful to God that we have this venue.
Praises rising up. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises.
Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you.
In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new.
'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. come you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Michael and Greg and Jan, for leading us in worship as always, and for Donald working the magic back in the back. Appreciate your dedication. Now, if you have kids at home, get them close to the monitor where they can see. We're going to continue. This is experiment number 3. Hopefully it's better than the dancing raisins from last week. But this is experiment number 3, looking at the wonders of God's creation. Got a verse of scripture for you to look at before we get started from Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Say this: do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So the title of the little experiment today, as we consider the wonders of God's creation, is Shine. And you're going to need a few pieces of equipment. Now, you can use a Quaker Oats container. Now, that's pretty good size. It works pretty good. But it doesn't have to be this way. It can be any tubular container. A Pringles potato chip can would also work, or something of that nature. But it has to have a lid, and you have to be able to drill or punch some holes in your lid. Now, before you do that, make sure it's okay with mom or dad for whatever material you're going to be using. And you might want to get some supervision before you pull out a drill or a nail and hammer and start punching holes. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a light source. Now, preferably a bright flashlight would be good, but any kind of light source would work. And you take that and you place it inside the container, and then you put the top on the container. Now, we're recording this during the day, so you're not going to be able to see on the ceiling the effect. But basically, you can see that the light shines through the little holes, and it will show up on the ceiling if you're in a dark room or if it's at night. And you can basically have a constellation. So depending on the size of the holes and the number of holes and the pattern that you put in there, it will shine those lights up on the ceiling. Now, you might say, well, that's great, but what's all that about? Well, if you go outside at night and you take something like a pair of binoculars, or if you have a telescope, you can go outside at night, and when you first look up, you'll see probably hundreds of stars, maybe even a few planets. But then when you take your binoculars and you look through them, or a telescope and look through them, you'll see thousands upon thousands of stars. And if you go to an area that is darker than the city, if you go way out into the country somewhere, or I know Kaneka National Forest is a good campground down there. They have no street lights. In a place like that, if you go, you'll see even more and more lights. But the truth is, we don't even know how many stars are in the universe. But the truth is that every one of these stars God created. Scripture says He named the stars. Now, I don't know about you, but I have trouble remembering when you start getting up to a lot of names. But God created each one of those stars, and He knows each one by name. But He didn't die for the stars. Jesus Christ died for you and for me because He loves us. In this verse of Scripture in Philippians tells us that we need to be shining like these lights. Now, you go outside at night, if there's a full moon, you can probably see to walk around by just the reflected light off of the full moon. You won't need a flashlight. But in any event, the lights in the heavens display the glory of God. And if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if indeed we have been saved and His Spirit lives in us, then there ought to be a difference in the way we talk, in the way we act, the places we go, the things that we like to do. Our values are different because We love Him, He loves us, and He is living in us. And Scripture says that we need to reflect that love to a lost and to a dying world. So next time you go out at night, and hopefully maybe you can do that this evening, go out at night and see if you can count all the stars. You won't be able to. See if you can pick out the moon. See if you can get your mom or dad to help you pick out Venus or Mars or one of the planets. Take a pair of binoculars out there and explore the heavens and realize that Jesus Christ, who died for you, is the same God that flung every one of those stars in the heavens. And as they shine for the glory of God, we need to shine as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these youngsters. I pray for each one. Lord, it's our earnest plea, it's our earnest prayer that each one comes to know you personally as their Lord and Savior. And then having done that, that they will grow in your grace and knowledge each and every day, and that the things they do, their activities, their words they speak, their values, Lord, all of it, their life in totality will reflect your love and your truth in the midst of this dark and dying world. Father, may they indeed be the light that you're calling them to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. To Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. To Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Committed unto Him against that day. While passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall be. And true, let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes, they're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them in the skies? Do others see Jesus? Story, be faithful.
Jesus in you.
Then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave and true. And lead the lost to life and light. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you.
Amen. Thank you. Well, the graphic on the board has the names of those we've been praying for before. I'm sure there's a bunch of others on your hearts and minds, but let's continue to pray for these as I light the candle and we sing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you again, Michael and Greg and Jan, for leading us in worship, and Donald for working all the magic back in the background there. What now? The governors of most of the states have started their plan to reopen. And I heard somebody say the other day, to get back to normal. Well, the problem is, there will not be a normal, at least not as we have known before. So then, what should we do? And that's what we're going to look at today. See what God says to us today about this portion of the pandemic, this portion of what we find ourselves in. Join me as we pray. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy, for your blessings, for your spirit that you give to us, for life and life more abundantly, Father, for security in the midst of doubt and death and disorder, for peace in the midst of fear, for the knowledge that no matter what comes into our lives, as long as we belong to you, it will be okay, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you know what you're doing, that everything is going according to your plan. We may not see it, we may not understand it, and we don't have to. We can trust you. Father, we pray for your church universal, but also your church specifically here at Liberty, that we would be passionate in pursuing you and faithful in service. And Father, while we cannot meet together physically on campus, we are still your church. We are still doing your work, and Lord, we see evidence of that time and time again. We thank you for that. So, Father, open our hearts and our minds today as we open your word. Guide us by your Spirit. I pray, Father, you'd forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here today. Continue to pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's first of all go to God's word and look at some scripture here from Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Also, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, that's not a word we use a lot today. We would say carefully. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then, we're getting back to normal. Well, don't bet on it. At least not the normal that you are used to before we heard of COVID-19. COVID-19 has drastically, and in my opinion, probably forever, changed the way the world perceives and does things. And as we said earlier, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So when they say we're going to get back to normal, what does that mean? What new things will be a part of normal? And more importantly, how should I respond? How should I respond as a Christian? And if you're listening today, and perhaps you're not a Christian, then maybe you need to answer the question, Lord, what would you have me do? How should I respond? Well, some things we're going to look at, three things, as a matter of fact, about how we should respond as Christians, what God wants us to be doing in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of getting back to quote-unquote normal, and really in the world day-to-day. This is part of the way we should be responding. Continue earnestly. Now, two parts there. The continue means we keep on keeping on. We don't give up. I shared before with some of you folks about when I was first started at Troy University, back then Troy State University, and back then you had to take three quarter hours of health and physical education, and Coach Costes offered a class called conditioning. They should have called it running, because that's all it was, running, running, running. And he would give us these workouts, and shortly you would be ready to stop, but you had to keep on going. If you wanted to pass the class, you had to keep on going, keep on running. He didn't require that we run in any certain time, but he did require that we did it. So you had to keep on going. Well, sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get sad. Sometimes we may even grieve a little bit. Things happen and we don't understand why, and we get down. Even Christians sometimes get down. But Scripture tells us that we need to continue. It says to not become weary in well-doing. Don't give up. We may get tired, but we don't give up, because God can renew our strength. In fact, He will do that, and we can keep on keeping on. Somebody said one time that life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And that's true. It's not who's going to get there fast, but who's going to make it to the end, to keep going. So continue, but not just keep on keeping on, continue earnestly. Earnestly. What does that mean? It means specifically here to be earnest in prayer, to not give up, to be focused and fervent, to be fiery even, to be trusting in the Lord and committing to prayer. Sometimes people get the idea that prayer is something that somebody else does. Prayer is something that preachers do. But no, prayer is for all of us. As a matter of fact, we need to be continuing in prayer. Earnestly, it says. We need to be in prayer. Not just occasionally, but Scripture says to pray without ceasing. And you might say, well, how exactly do I do that? It means to be always in an attitude of prayer. There to be nothing left unsaid. Now, prayer is a two-way street. It is two-way communication. We pray, we open our hearts, we open our spirits, we open our minds to God, but we listen to His Spirit speaking to us as well. And you might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I just don't know what to say. And I can tell you, amen, welcome to the club. I don't always know what to say either. But God's Word tells us that His Spirit will make intercession for us with groanings that we can't even understand. So if all you need to do is hit your knees or go down on your face in the carpet in your bedroom or wherever you need to be at and cry out to God, then that's what you need to do. And He will understand and will answer your prayer. Pray without ceasing. Don't let prayer be a last resort. Prayer should be the first thing we go to. Many, many times in Scripture, we see examples of people who knew God, but they didn't take the particular problem to Him in prayer, and the results were less than sterling. You may remember Joshua. And Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. But Joshua had an instance where some people in the promised land were going to try to pull something over on Joshua and the Israelites. They arrayed themselves and clothed themselves like they'd come from a long way. And they wanted to make a pact and an alliance with Joshua and them. And Joshua agreed to it. And then he found out they were close neighbors. They were part of the ones that should have been ejected from the promised land. The problem was they didn't take that request and that thing to God, or God would have revealed what they should have done. So we need to pray without ceasing. We need to make prayer a priority, not a last resort. Prayer needs to be a priority. Now, sometimes people have told me, and I've experienced it myself sometimes, that there's a lot of things going on, and it may be hard to focus sometimes. Well, that's one reason I think Scripture says to go in your closet. Now, does that mean to literally go in a closet? It could, if that's what it takes. The point is, we need to get away from whatever distraction there is and focus on God. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to pray as we should and to especially listen to God as we should if we are distracted. You cannot multitask and pray at the same time. You need to devote your full spiritual, mental, emotional, even physical attention on God. If that means getting off in your closet and closing the door, then do it. If it means getting in your study, if it means getting in the office, if it means getting in your car and driving away from the house and going somewhere else, you know, whatever it takes, that's what we need to do. We need to find a way to be able to focus ourselves. Now, some people will prayer journal, and that's okay. I've done that. You take a little journal and you write down your prayers because it helps you to focus. If it means that, then do that. Whatever it takes to focus and to pray earnestly, you need to do that. This is not really an option. This is a necessity. Prayer is not for God's benefit. Prayer is for our benefit. We need to plug in. We need to hear from God. We need to be comforted. We need to have the peace. We need to have all these things, and that only comes from a time communing with God. Continue earnestly in prayer. That means don't stop. It means make it a priority, and it means be earnest, be fervent about doing that. We've said before, what does fervency mean? What does earnestly mean? It means like you lost your cell phone. If you're looking for your cell phone, you're searching for the cell phone earnestly. You're searching for the cell phone fervently. We need to be praying like that. We need to be seeking God with all that we are. Jeremiah tells us that those that seek God with all their heart, he says, I will be found by them. So how do we need to respond to this? We need to respond first and foremost, as we should have been doing already, continuing earnestly in prayer. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for the church. The church has an awesome, awesome opportunity to touch the world, because the world is still Now, the world's trying to come out of that standstill order now, but the world is still more than it's ever been, at least in my lifetime. And the world is probably in a position where they will hear what God has to say more than they ever have been, at least in my lifetime. So continue earnestly. Secondly, walk wisely. Now, in Scripture, we've talked about it before, but I'll repeat it. When it's using the term walk, it means a daily activity. You see, everybody in Scripture in the days of the Old Testament and in the New Testament, most of the people walked everywhere they went. They didn't have a Ram 1500 pickup truck. They didn't have a Jeep. They didn't have a new car. They had to walk everywhere. Now, the king may have ridden on a horse or something, but most everybody had to walk. So when Scripture says walk, it's talking about a daily activity, something you had to do to go get food, to go get water, to go anywhere you went. You had to walk everywhere. It was the only means of transportation. So walk wisely, walking daily. It is never, ever over. It's something you're going to do all the time. Now, kids, if any of you kids are still listening to me, and I hope you are, growing up, one of the chores, there was three of us, I'm the oldest, my brother and my sister. Sister's 8 years younger than me. But we had certain chores we had to do. Now, I'm probably going to start stepping on your toes, I'm sorry, but we had chores we had to do. And one of them was washing the supper dishes. There was no debate. There was no question. The only question was which one of us was washing, which one was rinsing, and which one was drying and putting up. My sister was little. She had to get a chair to get up to the sink, so she usually got to rinse, and my brother and I would change washing or putting everything up. But that was always the chore. And I can remember making a comment, I don't know how old I was, preteen, but I can remember making the comment that the only thing I did not like about washing dishes is it was never over. You had dirty dishes the next day, and Mom said, yes, welcome to life. So walking wisely is something that we must do every day. You can't do it once and be done. It is an everyday occurrence. So the walking is an everyday thing. The wisdom, though, while it is an everyday thing, we need to talk about where is it coming from. Because the world would tell you, a lot of people will tell you they got wisdom. Well, be careful. The only true wisdom comes from God. James tells us that if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Because wisdom comes from God. The actual true definition, biblically speaking, of wisdom is the application of the truth of God in life. It is more than just the apprehension and accumulation of knowledge. It is the application of the truth of God to my life each and every day. And if you take time to look around you, you will see lots of information, maybe even lots of knowledge, but very little wisdom that goes on in our day and time. And that's unfortunate. But wisdom only comes from God. So what should we be doing? We should be walking in wisdom. We should walk wisely. And then he says to redeem the time. What does that mean? It means don't waste it. It means invest the time. Because one thing that is absolutely certain for everybody, no matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated or how uneducated you are, no matter your station in life, everybody, you only have 1,440 minutes in every day. What matters is how you invest it. Because once those seconds are gone, you cannot ever get them back. Redeem the time. Invest the time. And the only way you can do that is to take God's priorities and follow God's standards and God's priorities, because that's the only thing that's going to last and make a long-lasting, lifetime, eternal difference. The possessions we acquire, the houses we have, the cars we drive, the educational degrees, the clothes we buy, none of that is going to last and none of that is going to matter. We're not going to take it with us. Somebody else is going to get it, or it's going to burn up or rot down or rust away. We need to invest the time. We need to invest it in others. We need to invest it in our relationship, in our walk of fellowship with God. We need to invest it in service, in ministry. Those things count. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be continuing earnestly in prayer, and we need to be walking wisely. Don't look to the government for wise direction. Now, hopefully it's going to be some people there that are wise, but don't look for them to give you the wisdom. Look for God to give you wisdom. And I'm going to promise you this. If you're walking in the light that God gives you, if you're walking in the wisdom that God gives you, you are not going to be walking in step with the world. And the world's not going to like it. And the world's going to have something to say about it. And the world's probably going to bring persecution. And that's okay, because Scripture already tells us we're going to see that. We've already seen it. We're going to see more of it. But you and I need to walk wisely, because we want to be approved by God rather than men. When it comes to the end, it's not going to matter what man thinks about me. It's going to matter what Jesus Christ knows about me. No matter how well liked you are by man, that will have nothing to do. You cannot be voted into heaven. It's not a popularity contest. The only thing that's going to matter is what Jesus Christ knows about you and about me, not what man may think. I had a lot rather be persecuted by man than sent to hell by God. So continue earnestly in prayer. Walk wisely. And thirdly, speak grace. Oh my goodness. I'm probably going to step on some toes now. Speak grace. The tongue is a powerful member of the body. I'm not certain, but that it may not be the most powerful member of the body. The little epistle of James tells us that the tongue can be used by Satan. It can be set on fire by Satan. And we can speak things that bring heartache. We can speak things that bring death and darkness. We can speak all kinds of evil. Even those who are Christians, if our tongue is not bridled by the Spirit of God, we can say stuff you would not imagine and do the harm that you would not imagine. We don't need to be doing that. The Word of God tells us that the same spring cannot bring forth salt and sweet water. I have met individuals who would tell me that they're a Christian, but then when I heard their speech, I didn't hear anything Christian about it. So then that leaves you with the thought, well, which is true? What they tell me or what they say? And I'm not judging, but I'm saying, I will say this, if I tell you I'm a Christian, but my speech does not indicate that I'm a Christian, then I would be very concerned that I really was not saved. Because if I belong to Jesus Christ, that means my tongue also belongs to Jesus Christ. I remember teaching my daughter many, many years ago that just because a thought came to your mind does not mean the words need to come out of your mouth. There's been a lot of times that I bit my tongue. And every time that I've bitten my tongue, I was glad that I did. At the time, I might have rather had said something else. But almost every time that comes to mind, anyway, every time that comes to mind that I held my peace, I was glad that I did. It's better to hold your peace and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So be careful. Be careful what you speak. Speak grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is undeserved love, godly love. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. Grace is when your child comes to you and tells you they did something and you know that they knew better and you could punish them, but you forgive them. That's grace. Grace is when somebody says something to you or does something to you and you forgive them even though they don't deserve it or hadn't asked for it. You still extend grace because God gave us grace. Ephesians tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by the love of God, grace. And Scripture says, speak grace, speak love, be intentional, be intentional. Speak Scripture. Toby Mac has a song that says, speak life. That's what we need to do. Speak life. Speak God's Word. Now, the problem is, if you don't spend any time in God's Word, it's sort of hard to speak it. But if you spend time in God's Word, you will start noticing that when situations arise in life, boom, a verse of Scripture comes out and you can speak it. Do that. Speak God's Word. Speak the Word of life to others. Speak it back to God in prayer. We need to speak life, speak grace, and be intentional about it. Not haphazardly, not accidentally, but intentional. Now, I do not mean by that you can plan to save somebody's soul, because you can't do that. I can't do that. Only God can do the saving. We need to be led by the Spirit of God to be speaking a good word in a good season. But we can be intentional about it. What do I mean by that? It means we need to be praying for opportunity. We need to be preparing by reading the Word of God, digesting the Word of God, allowing God's Spirit to give us His truth. We need to be preparing and ready. Scripture says to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. So we need to speak grace. We can always speak evil. We can always speak darkness. Be different from the world, because you're not of the world if you're in Christ. Speak grace. There needs to be something different in the way we speak. And that should be grace. But then it says, seasoned with salt. Now, in our culture, we eat too much salt. I got a family member who salts everything before they taste it. And I'm just like, because I'm constantly getting on folks, don't add salt, don't add salt. Well, that's not the kind of salt it's talking about here, obviously. It's talking about here about the truth. Season it with salt. Now, the problem with salt is, what's it do if it gets in a wound? Burns, don't it? Salt can irritate, but salt also preserves. So we need to speak the truth, but don't forget the grace part. We speak the truth in love. I shared before with you guys about a friend of mine at work that I happened to walk by their office one day, and they were in a discussion, I guess, a very heated discussion might be the best term. They were in a heated discussion with somebody about a cultural event. It was about abortion, actually. And this person that I knew, a friend of mine, is a Christian, and he was... Boy, he was telling the truth now, but he was coming across pretty hard. And I told him later, I said, yeah, you were speaking the truth, but need to throw a little love out there too, because it does no good to drive that other person away. They need to be drawn to Jesus. Speak the truth, absolutely speak the truth, with no doubt about it, but speak it in love. Speak grace seasoned with salt. Your friends deserve to hear the truth, but they also need to hear the love of God. The man on the, or the woman on the street needs to hear the truth, but they also need to hear the love of God. People in the world don't just need to know what the church is against. They need to know what the church is all about. They need to know Jesus Christ, who loves them and died for them. Now, yes, they need to know the truth. They need to know about sin, but they need to know that God loves them and wants them to come to Him. Speak the truth. Speak grace, seasoned with salt. So what are we going to do? We're getting back to quote-unquote normal. Continue earnestly in prayer. Walk wisely. And speak grace. Here's your compass point. While the government and the culture are running at full speed to get back to normal, my recommendation to us is don't be in a hurry to get back to quote-unquote normal, but rather pursue God. If you want to chase after something, chase after God. Continue earnestly in prayer. Walk wisely. Speak grace. Practice these Christian graces. You know, all kinds of people love different kinds of sports, and sports are great. There's lots of money spent in the United States every year on softball equipment, baseball equipment, football equipment. Man, I noticed one day I walked into Academy back in the fall, actually. And I can remember as a kid growing up playing, what did they call it back then? It wasn't peewee football, but whatever, the little kid, crickets, whatever we were. I don't remember now, but I can remember getting shoulder pads and a helmet, and I think we bought the pants, and the team furnished the jersey, I think is what it was, and had to have cleats, and boy, I thought I was a big deal. And I don't know how much Mom and Dad spent for that, but I was looking at some of the equipment in Academy, and it is sophisticated for these little kids even. Some high-priced equipment, bats for softball and baseball and helmets and stuff. You can spend a lot of money. And then I know people who will take their kids, and this is okay, there's nothing wrong with doing it. They'll take their kids to a batting cages or wherever to practice. I was up at Overlook the other day. Gracie's favorite thing is to play Frisbee. So I'll go up to Overlook where there's nobody in those practice fields, and where I can throw the Frisbee long distance and she can get out and run, and she loves it. But I noticed a couple of times when we've been up there that some man pulls up in a field below us on a pickup truck, and he gets out with his son, and all they do, he pitches balls to him, his little boy hits the ball, and then they'll practice fielding. So they're serious, and there's nothing wrong with that. He wants to practice and get good. But let me suggest that we practice these Christian graces. Practice these Christian graces. Be intentional. Be intentional. Continue earnestly in prayer. Walk wisely. Speak grace. Pursue God with all that you are. And whatever may happen, whether we have a second wave of COVID-19 or if it fizzles out, whatever happens, and I don't know what will happen, but whatever happens, we will be in the right position spiritually, individually, and corporately as the church to do what God is calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, I don't have the answer to all of man's questions. I don't know what the future holds day by day, but you do. I know that you hold the future. Father, I pray that as individuals and corporately as the church, Father, that we will be pursuing you. While so many people are so adamant about getting back to normal, and I can understand the desire, I know people are suffering, and I'm not saying we shouldn't get back to normal, but I'm saying, Father, that we need to be focused on you. Because whatever happens, where we need to be is just as close as we can get to you. As the sheep are the safest, the closer they can get to the shepherd, so are we, the closer that we can get to you, the safer we are. Father, we want to speak your truth. We want to speak your love. We want to display your light. We want to be your church, individually and corporately. Help us to continue earnestly in prayer. Help us to walk wisely. Help us to speak grace. Father, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, they don't have these graces. They haven't experienced these. But Lord, help them to understand that you died for them, extending grace to them. And I pray, Lord, that they will, wherever they are, that they will bow their head and they will ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save my soul. I want to spend eternity with you. And then, Lord, be my Lord each day. Guide and direct me to be the man, woman, boy, or girl that you call me to be. Thank you, Father, for what you've already done, for what you're going to do. We give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us.